Picture a Cessna 172 on short final. Nice fall afternoon, little bit of a crosswind from the left. The student is flying, the instructor is sitting there with his arms crossed, and the approach is starting to come apart. The student gets behind it, the instructor sees the nose drift, reaches for the yoke and says, "I got it," and here's the thing. In that exact moment, two people are flying the airplane, or worse. Nobody is. I'm Pattern, and this is Traffic Pattern on Radio Hangar. Today's tip of the day is small. It takes about 3 seconds to do right, and in 20-some years of teaching, I have never seen a habit save more close calls than this one. It's called the positive exchange of flight controls. You have the airplane, I have the airplane. You have the airplane, let's walk through this together. Because there's a lot more going on in those three little sentences than you'd think. Before we get into it, let me give a shout out to our friends at aviationsoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot? Instrument? Commercial? They've got you covered. It's a great way to mark the milestones that matter, the ones you earn one landing at a time. AviationSoul.com. Go take a look. Okay, let's talk about why this matters, because if you're a brand new student, you might be thinking, this seems obvious. Somebody flies, somebody doesn't. What's the big deal? The big deal is that airplanes with dual controls are strange machines. Both seats have a yoke or a stick. Both seats have rudder pedals. Both seats have throttles in most trainers, which means at any given second, there are two human beings who are physically capable of flying that aircraft. And the airplane does not know which one is in charge. The airplane just responds to whoever is pushing and pulling. So the entire safety of that arrangement rests on one thing: absolute unbroken clarity about who is flying. Not most of the time, not usually. Every single second from engine start to shutdown, one person is the pilot flying, and everybody else in that cockpit knows it. The dangerous moments are the handoffs, the transitions. When the airplane changes hands, and here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. The two ways this goes wrong are exact opposites, and they're both deadly. The first way is that both people fly at once. The instructor grabs the controls to demonstrate something. The student doesn't let go because nobody told them to, and now you've got two people fighting the same yoke. You've heard the phrase dual input. On a big airliner that shows up in accident reports, in a little trainer it shows up as a yoke that feels stiff and weird, an airplane that won't do what either person wants, and control forces that are the sum of two confused humans pulling in slightly different directions on a gusty short final. That is the last place you want ambiguity. The second way is the opposite, and honestly, it scares me more. Both people think the other one is flying, so nobody is. The instructor says, "I got it," reaches for the yoke, then looks down to point at something on the panel and lets go to gesture. The student heard, "I got it," so the student let go too. And for 2, 3, 4 seconds, that airplane is flying itself, nose dropping, speed building, bank steepening. Two qualified pilots on board and not one hand on the controls. That's not a made-up scenario. That is a documented repeating pattern in training accidents. Confusion during the exchange of controls. It has killed people in perfectly good airplanes on perfectly good days. So the FAA, in the Airplane Flying Handbook, and echoed all through the Airman Certification Standards, gives us a fix. And it is beautifully simple. It's a three-step verbal exchange, and you use the same words every single time. Let me give you the whole thing. I'm gonna fly, and I wanna hand the airplane to you. Step one, I say, "You have the flight controls." Step two, you say, "I have the flight controls." Step three, I say, "You have the flight controls." Three statements, a challenge, a response, and a confirmation. And only after that third statement does the exchange actually count as complete. Now notice what's happening physically underneath the words, because this is the part people skip. When I say step one, "You have the flight controls," I am still flying. My hands are still on the yoke. I have not let go of anything. I'm just announcing my intention. When you say step two, "I have the flight controls," now you put your hands on, now you're flying, you've got it, you can feel the airplane, and here's the key. I do not release until I hear you say it. I keep my hands lightly on the controls through step two, and only when you've confirmed do I let go and say step three. So there is a moment, a real physical overlap, where both of us have hands on the yoke, but there is never a moment of confusion about who is in command because we said it out loud. And there is never a moment where the airplane is flying itself because I don't let go until I know you've got it. That overlap is the whole point. Hands stay on until the words are complete, say it, then let go, not the other way around. Let me tell you where students get this wrong, because it's always the same three places. The first one is the silent grab. The instructor sees something going sideways, reaches over, and just takes it. No words, maybe a grunt, maybe here. The student feels the yoke move and doesn't know if the instructor is flying now or just helping. So the student, being conscientious, keeps flying too. Now you're both on it. If you're the student and this happens to you, by the way, you are allowed to say the words yourself. You can say, "Do you have the airplane?" You are allowed to demand clarity. It's your certificate and your neck too. The second place it goes wrong is the pointing hand. This one is sneaky. The instructor properly takes the airplane, says all three steps, great, then wants to show the student something. See how the nose is sitting right there on the horizon? And to point at the horizon, the instructor takes a hand off the yoke and gestures at the windshield. Fine, one hand, still flying. But then they want to point at the airspeed indicator too, and the other hand comes off. And now the teacher is doing a whole presentation with both hands while the airplane quietly noses over. If you're demonstrating, you fly first and lecture second, keep a hand on. The airplane doesn't care about your lesson plan. The third place, and this is the big one for solo-bound students, is that you forget this rule applies to more than just instructors. Positive exchange of controls is for anybody who might touch the airplane. Taking a friend up for their first flight? Before you let them try a gentle turn, you brief this exact exchange on the ground. You have the flight controls? I have the flight controls. You have the flight controls. Because your non-pilot buddy has no idea that letting go means letting go. They might grab the yoke in a moment of nerves and freeze on it. So you tell them, up front, when I say I have the flight controls, you take your hands and feet completely off, and you rest them in your lap. Show them, make it physical. Because in an emergency, a passenger with a death grip on the yoke is a second emergency stacked on the first. Now let's talk about the check ride, because this shows up there too, and a lot of students don't realize the examiner is watching for it. The examiner is looking for you to run a clean, positive exchange every time the airplane changes hands. When you first sit down, before you even start the engine, a sharp applicant briefs it. You look at the examiner and you say, "During today's flight, we'll use a three-step exchange of controls." When I say you have the flight controls, please respond and I'll confirm. That one sentence tells the examiner you're a professional. It's right there in the ACS as a matter of risk management and single-pilot resource management. And then during the flight, when the examiner takes the controls to set up an unusual attitude or hands them back after a demonstration, you do the exchange crisply. You have the flight controls. I have the flight controls. You have the flight controls every time. No mumbling. No silent grabs. Here's the part that'll help you. It is almost impossible to do this too much. Nobody has ever failed a check ride for being too clear about who's flying the airplane. But people absolutely raise an examiner's eyebrow when the airplane changes hands, and there's this awkward, quiet moment where nobody's quite sure who's on the controls. Overcommunicate every time. Let me give you a real scenario to tie it together. You're on a training flight. You're the student. You're flying an approach into a towered field. The wind picks up, you get a gust, the airplane balloons, you're behind it, and your instructor decides this one needs to become a go-around under her control. Here's the clean version. She says, "My flight controls," you immediately take your hands and feet off, and you say your flight controls. She says, "My flight controls," and she's already got it. Powers up, pitches for climb, goes around, clean. Total elapsed time, maybe 2 seconds. At no point were you both fighting it. At no point was nobody flying. Now, here's the ugly version of the exact same moment. She reaches over silently and pushes the throttle up. You feel the airplane surge, but you're still holding the yoke because nobody said anything, so you push the nose down, thinking you're still landing while she's pulling up to climb. 2 seconds of the airplane getting contradictory commands, low, slow, and in a gust. That is how a routine go-around turns into a bent airplane. Same weather, same pilots. The only difference is 9 spoken words, 9 words. You have the flight controls times 3. That's the whole tip. Let me leave you with a couple of practical takeaways you can use on your very next flight. First, use the exact phrase, every time, even when it feels like overkill on a calm day doing air work. You want this to be a reflex, not a decision, because the day you actually need it, on a gusty final with your heart rate up, you will not rise to the occasion, you will fall back to your habits. So build the habit now when it's easy. Second, remember the hands. Words and hands together, you don't let go until you hear the confirmation. And when you take the airplane, you take it hands and feet and you say, "So, Third, brief your passengers before every flight with a non-pilot in the other seat, 30 seconds. If I ever say I have the flight controls, hands and feet off, in your lap, that's it. That little brief has ended more than a few in-flight scares before they started. And one more, for my students heading toward that first solo. This habit is how you learn to recognize the exact moment you become pilot in command. When your instructor steps out of the airplane and you're alone for the first time, there is no exchange to say out loud, but you'll feel it. You have the flight controls. All of them. Nobody else. That feeling never really goes away, and honestly, you don't want it to. The material today comes straight out of the FAA's Airplane Flying Handbook and the Airman Certification Standards, and it's a habit every good CFI drills from day one for a reason. If you want the show notes, they're at radiohanger.com. Learning to fly is hard, and it's expensive, and there is a lot to hold in your head all at once. But this one is free, and it's simple, and it might be the easiest safety habit you ever build. Say the words every time. I'm pattern. Keep your hand on the yoke until you hear the words. I'll see you back in the pattern.